Malachi chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 9, Mark 12. We're going to go to those relatively quickly. We're going to talk this morning about a very hot topic, and topic is going to be talking about tithing, giving to God. Is it something that we should do in the church today? Is it an Old Testament thing that we no longer need to follow? And kind of give you kind of an idea of what the Bible's perspective is, especially New Testament, Bible's perspective is on giving. We will see as we go through this message that those that are faithful to God, He is faithful back to. And I don't want this message to come across as, hey, the more you give, the more blessed you're going to be. But to be quite honest with you, that's how God works. I'm a living testimony of that very fact. When my wife and I first got saved at a Calvary Chapel, we attended that church for about 6 months. It was very similar to the church that you participate here with the tithe boxes in the back. We didn't pass a plate. Nobody ever really talked about money. So it's like, you know, we never thought about it. And then someone asked us one time, you know, do you guys tithe? And we're like, well, what is that? And so we, wanting to please our Lord, wanting to be obedient to His word, studied for ourselves. We picked up some tapes that the pastor had put together, did some study, and realized it's something we should be doing. And from the moment we started, our lives were transformed. I mean, God was faithful to us because we were faithful to Him. And I don't want this message to be, but hey, the more you give, the more blessed your life's going to be. Because really, it should be an attitude of our hearts. It shouldn't be something that we check off, you know, as a list of things that we do as Christians, and to do it with the right attitude. And me, as the pastor of this church, now, gosh, what is it, 13 years we're going on, 13 years in the ministry, I haven't really taught on tithing much, if ever. Specifically, this is probably the first time ever we took an entire service to talk about it. And so, you know, sometimes with Calvary's, we don't talk about it so much that I believe we can be in error of it. And so I feel convicted by the Lord to share this and to kind of let you know that this is something we should be doing as a New Testament church. But before we get any farther, I'd like to open us up with another word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together, to come and to worship you, to study your word, and to share a testimony of your goodness. Lord, I know there's a room, this room has many people in it that have been radically transformed by applying tithing to their lives, by being obedient to that as we see it in Scripture. And so I pray that this message comes across not as a plea that this church needs more money, that it would truly just be a heart of, Lord, we want to equip the body of Christ to be effective and to really allow our church to be more effective in the community, to be more effective in the world, Lord, to reach people more effectively and to be able to provide for people's lives. And so may this come across with the right heart and with your heart, God. So guide us and direct us through the Scriptures, and may you be blessed. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And as I said, this isn't about giving to God so that you can get back, but it's rather giving to God because He's already given so much to you. And if you have that perspective, if you can have that mindset, has God not done so much in your life? Certainly salvation. I mean, if we look back in our lives, sometimes we look so far in the future that we miss what God has already done. And to be grateful for what God has done in your lives and to be giving in that way. Again, here at Calvary, we don't talk about tithing. We don't pass a bag. We don't pass a plate. I can remember the first time I went to a Promise Keepers event. I've only known Calvary Chapels my entire life. And so I go to a Promise Keepers event, and they passed a bucket around. I mean, for me, a Calvary guy, it was awkward. I got to admit it. I was like, ooh, they want money. You know, it's like, ooh, it was weird. And I had to really check my heart, because there's nothing wrong with passing a plate. There's nothing wrong with going to a church that does that. I think it's something that we should encourage people to do, is to give. But what we do here at Calvary Chapel is we keep the box in the back because we believe tithing is something between you and God. Not between us. I don't want to know, you know. I just want you to give because God wants you to give. This message is not about, again, giving because we have a need in the church. But let me tell you this. There are needs in the church. I'm not sharing this because, hey, we're trying to meet a budget, or we're trying to do certain things, or I'm going to put a thermometer up here and we're, hey, come on, let's reach our goal so we can do something. But to say, listen, we need to realize that there are expenses that a church has. There are parts of ministry that are unavoidable, and we have to deal with money. It would be great if we could just all come and not have to worry about giving and something in the sky dropped money into our bank account. That would be wonderful, but it's not the way it is. And we as a body of believers and we as a family of God need to understand what those things are and work together to achieve what God has for this particular church. I asked you to open up to Malachi chapter 3, and if you've ever studied on tithing, you know Malachi chapter 3 is a very popular area of Scripture. Many people look at this as you know, the tithing Scripture, and some will look at this and say, well, that's Old Testament. It was a principle in the Old Testament that God set forth, but it's the heart that we must carry through into the New Testament. Let's read this. Verse 8 in Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. So God is saying, you've robbed me. And God is saying, and the people of the priests of the day say, well, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Two different things. Tithes are something that you give to the church. Offerings are something that you give to other ministries. And they're like, you've robbed me in this, in tithes and offerings. You're not bringing those things in. And what is interesting to me, God says, if you will do this, and if you will test me in this, I will give you such a blessing in your life, you won't be able to contain it. In the Old Testament, the priest served in the temple 100% of the time, and God set up tithing, setting 10% from all the other tribes so that that would provide for the priests. And so that there would be a storehouse, a place in the temple where there were needs that people could come in and receive from. That's the mindset. And God says, if you do this, and if you test me in this and try me now in this, I'm going to tell you, your storehouses are going to be so full, you're not going to have enough room to keep every blessing that I've given. This should be really the attitude and the response for all churches, that we have so many blessings that we have to give them away. Breaks this pastor's heart when people call our church to say, hey, could you help us pay our bill or pay our rent? And say, well, what have you done to try and get your bill? Well, I've called other churches, but they couldn't help. Their budget, you know, their budgets are, they're out of budget. They don't have any money. And it's like, is that what the world sees, or even believers see the church is today, a place that runs out of money, a place that can't meet their needs? And now I understand there's people that take advantage of that and run down the list of churches, what they call them. But I want to be that ministry that says, you know, when there's a need, we want to meet it. We want to minister to the need, but we also want to meet the need. Some people are going to say, well, that is Old Testament, and certainly it is Old Testament. So I'm going to ask you this question. Is tithing something that you have to do? I'm going to tell you. It's not. It's not. This is an Old Testament law that the children of Israel were commanded to do. We are not commanded to tithe. But if they were commanded to tithe and didn't, and we have the grace that we live under Jesus Christ, shouldn't we be giving people? Shouldn't we be much more gracious? We don't have to give because it's a law. We have to give because God is so good. Because we see in the New Testament many scriptures that talk about giving. And when people say, oh, it's an Old Testament thing, what's amazing to me, they want to throw out the tithe part, but what do they want to keep? The blessing part. Tithe and I'll bless you. But let's get rid of the tithe because we don't like that, but God, I want to be blessed. They go together. They're hand in hand. Flip over to our next scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I love this verse. And this is not specifically speaking about tithing, but it's the heart of giving. And this is what we must have in the New Testament. Look at me at verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's New Testament, right? So what does he say? Each one give, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Listen, if you go into your backyard this weekend or next weekend and you plant one tomato plant, you know how many tomato plants you're going to have? One. Anybody who plants one tomato plant and expects two tomato plants the next week is deceiving themselves. If you plant 10, if you plant 20, you expect the more you plant, the more seed you plant, the more you can expect to receive. That's the heart here in this particular scripture. And let everyone give as he purposes in heart, not grudgingly. Listen, if you're going to write the check, if you're going to write a check to this ministry, to God, and say, here, God, and you're going to do it with a hard heart, God's going, that's not the right attitude. Do you understand when it says God loves a cheerful giver? That word cheerful is where we get our word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. How many of us stand back in that box and laugh as we give to God, thank you, Lord, for all you do? Or instead go, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. Can't believe I'm writing this. It's such a large amount. When Lou and I first started tithing, it was 10%. That's a lot. But it's become something over the years where you go, God, you've given us so much. 10 just seems like a start. 10 just seems like a tip. It seems so little for so much you've done for us. You see the difference? You have a heart for God. You love God so much that you want him to bless your life. I'm sure you all do. And I've asked Corey and Lainey to come up, and they can come up now this way, because they've experienced this in their life, because I just didn't want this to be my story or my testimony. So Corey and Lainey are going to come up, and we're going to talk about a few things that have happened in their lives as soon as they get their mics on.
Corey told me not to have it on while I was singing.
No, you don't want to. It's true. That bad, huh?
Evidently.
You can thank me later.
All right. Yeah, Lou says I don't sing well either. Corey and Lainey are here to share, again, what God did in their lives with this particular topic. We were sitting and having dinner at the end of last year, and they had shared kind of a little bit of a testimony. That's kind of what kind of spurred this on for me, is to have them come up and share some of the things that God's done in life. So give them a hand of applause to come up here. I mean, they're putting their life out there for everybody. I mean, really, they're up here because this is an example of a perfect couple, right? Right?
That's flawless. Right. That's why you had us for relationships.
That's
right.
That's exactly right. So I got a few questions here. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but you know, the first question is always, you know, what is your attitude, or what was your attitude before you systematically started giving to the ministry? And for you guys, what was kind of the history before you started giving? Because you started what, January of last year, right?
Yeah, I would have hated this message. This would have been one of those that I would have rolled my eyes. I logic that stuff out, and so it didn't seem logical to me. Because it's not. That's the cool part about it. But that was my attitude towards it.
Yeah. And I think for me it was something, tithing was like, oh, if I have money this month extra, I'll throw it in the box or when the plate comes around. But it was in no way, you know, a principle that we had embraced. Only when it was convenient did we tithe.
And how did you know about it? I mean, what did you... From other people, from just...
I mean, we both grew up in the church, and I think it's something that every church we went to, it was talked about in some way, or they had someone giving a testimony. And I was laughing, thinking as we were preparing for this, you know, I always just thought the people up there, like, that would never be me. Even if I embraced that principle, what happened to them would never happen to me. But to answer the question, it was just something you'd heard about. You were supposed to do it, like... paying taxes or something. You just do it. You
know? So what were some of the things that kind of stopped you from giving?
Lack, or what we perceived as lack of funds. Mm-hmm. There's no way we have 10% to give. We're already maxed out.
But yet we would have the best cable package, so we could watch football during football season.
You love football?
I love it, yeah. That was me making the call directors here.
Or Lainey would buy a shirt.
That might have happened.
Yeah, that does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That was one, I think for me it was like faith, lack of faith for sure. I didn't believe the principle. It sounded backwards to me.
So you felt God blesses me, then I'll give.
Yeah,
now we
exactly.
have enough, we'll yeah. start to give.
Exactly. Gotcha. That's the way I viewed it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any kind of biblical perspective on tithing at all at that particular? Like, did you know any of the scriptures or?
Not really.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I mean, beyond maybe just hearing someone read it. Yeah. Probably.
And hearing 10%. I remember at the last church we went to before we moved here, I helped work with some of the. I was the admin at that church every now and then, and I was sitting in a meeting, and this huge argument broke out over how much you were supposed to be giving, and the youth pastor did not agree with the pastor, and it just turned into this, but it was never mentioned, something we've talked about, that it's an act of worship. That was news to me until we were preparing for this. Like, this isn't just something you do. It's just like prayer. It's just like praise and worship. It is part of worshiping God and not... which percent and who yeah. and yeah.
It's funny, even this morning I was talking to somebody and we were talking about, you know, when we write the check and when we drop it in the box, do we just do it? I mean, is it just something that we do when we come to church instead of going, you know what, before I put this check, I'm going to pray, I'm going to thank God and really make that be that worshipful, you know, heart behind it, because truly the money you're giving is money that was come from God. If we truly believe everything that we have comes from the hand of God, then that's his, and we're giving it back to him. And so having that attitude really is helpful. And I know in the days that we live in with automatic deposits and direct, you know, all these things that just happens in the background, you know, sometimes we can miss that, you know, well, I really need to be thankful for being able to give and to provide in that way. Was it hard for you to give at first?
I think so. I mean, we just decided, our story is last January, we both just decided we're doing this. Like, it doesn't make sense. We don't really have the money to be doing it, which is obviously a backwards way of thinking, but we're doing it. And so those first few months, you're seeing like 10% of your income go out when you're like, we have these bills to pay, or we need to be buying this, or, oh my goodness, we have a 2.5-year-old, or, well, not even a, you know, 1-year-old at the time, we need to buy him this. And it was hard.
We never missed a payment. That was the. There was never a moment where we were like, "All right, this is stupid."
Yeah.
Now we missed a payment. Yeah, that was. I'm probably getting a little ahead, but that is. Yeah. That is.
Well, you know, again, he says, "Test me on this." So you try it, and you think, "Okay, let's see how this is going to go." You know, am I going to have enough? And I remember, I don't know if Lou was going to share this later, but I remember a time when I actually took over the finances at our house. And I would just write the tithe check first, and I would just write all the bills, and I would leave us with like what $3 in the checking account. My wife's like, "You can't do that." I'm like, "Well, the bills are paid." But I can specifically remember this one time where I saw how much money we had and how many bills we had, and clearly we didn't have enough. And that was the temptation for me to go, "Should I hold off on the tithe so that I can pay my bills?" And I said, "I'm not going to do it." And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, I wrote God's check first. And as I wrote the checks, all the bills were paid, and there was money left over. I mean, I saw the loaves and the fishes before my very eyes. I figured I'd just keep writing until the count got to zero, and then we'd see what we have left. And God took care of it. I mean, it was an absolute miracle to me. And that's, I think, the reality. It's hard at first, because you don't understand, 10% is a lot of money. How are we going to afford that? But once you do it, you realize, wait a minute. God makes the way. God is waiting for us to take that step of faith. And to do it, and he's going to reward you for it, you know, because you guys have experienced, you know, some reward from what God has done. You've seen him, you've tithed faithfully, and your bills have been paid, and your lives have been great, you know.
I think it's supposed to be hard. I mean, this is me logicking it out, but I think that's why it's 10%, because it's, to me, that's hard, that's challenging to give 10%, and it's, but that's the principle of it. It teaches you to surrender that to God. I don't know. It needs to sting a little bit at first. That's the lesson part of it. For me, it was.
Yeah.
And I think, too, you know, it took us a couple of months. And I mean, what I didn't want to come across when we talked about doing this, sorry, I have a lot of hair, was it's like a genie in the bottle, you know, or it's just, you know, you give to the church your tithe and your life is amazing. And I would never want to sit up here and say that. But Corey at the same time was like, don't downplay the year we've had, because that's my tendency to, you know, let's bring up anything bad that happens. But we've had an amazing year in so many ways, like outside of just finances. And it took us like probably the first 6 or 7 months, I don't know how many times we would laugh and be like, why is this happening? Like, he was getting opportunities that on paper probably shouldn't have happened. And by the end of the year, all of a sudden it dawned on us, the only thing that had changed from the year before was that we gave faithfully. Yeah.
You know, and it's easy to say.
Sorry, I'm just going to take this off.
Is it, you know, it's so hard to look at it and go, well, if I give, do I expect to get something back? We shouldn't expect, but God's word says it. I mean, that's the promise. So, you know, I think sometimes I try to correct people, go, man, we give and then God gave so much back to us. He loves that. He loves to bless your life. Now, I've never known anybody that has started and not had this type of testimony. I mean, literally not one person ever said, I started tithing and man, my bills, I've never been still not been able to pay a bill. It just doesn't happen. So in a sense, we should expect, again, not how much he gives us, but that he provides for us. You know, and again, it says in his word, if you put Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Scripture. So the promises are there within the word. If we would just be faithful, yes, it seems hard. And it's, wow, 10%, that's a lot. But if God is first in your life, is it really that much? I look at it like this. He lets us keep 90. I mean, when we look at it that way, it's like, wow. You know? I mean, the government doesn't trust you enough. They take it before you get it. God's saying, here, you take it. Now I want you to give it back. It's the heart. It's the heart behind it. we talked about it a little bit. You didn't look at giving as an act of worship initially.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
I think we were testing God in it. I mean, you say that's the only area in Scripture that it says to test God, right?
That's the only one.
Maybe that's, we didn't realize it, but that was kind of our perspective on it. All right, he says this, let's just see what happens. But there wasn't a worshipful heart in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reminded of this story. It's in Mark chapter 12. We don't have to turn there, but it's when Jesus is in the temple and there's the woman and the Pharisee that are giving in the temple, and the Pharisee gives a bunch of money. But this little woman, it was less than one penny she puts in. But it was everything that she had. And Jesus, talk about knowing what we're doing. Jesus notices this, pulls his disciples and says, let me tell you what. That woman has given more than anyone in this place because she gave out of her poverty. They're giving out of their wealth. And she gave everything that she had. What a principle that Jesus takes time to notice. Again, I'm not saying give all that you have out of your checkbook. I'm saying give God everything of yourself. Give him all access to everything in your life, because that's really the heart of worship. God, you've done so much for me. You've blessed my life. Thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. I want to see the work of the Lord go forward, and that's the mindset that we must have. I know some people say, well, giving to a church, it seems like it's, you know, giving it to a church, they can do bad things with the money. Listen, you got to trust that between you and between the Lord and them. We are humble before God to have this responsibility, and we want to do right with the resources that he gives to us. So we are as much concerned about that as you are. But I understand the idea of that. You know, another thing is, some people I know would say, well, I don't really make that much. It's not going to make that big of a difference. And, you know, Jesus very clearly says, if you can be faithful with a little, you can be faithful with much. And it becomes a habit. It becomes an attitude. I knew this one woman. I asked her, she was struggling with some stuff, and I just asked her, you know, does she give? And she says, oh, no, I only make $150 a month. I'm like, so? She goes, so whatever I give wouldn't be much. I go, just give $15. See what God does. I mean, again, it's the heart behind it. It's not the amount. God takes care of the amount.
I love what you said when we were meeting. We were kind of talking. You said, if you can if God can trust you with a little, then he knows that he can trust you with a lot.
Yep.
I love, you might have just said that, I might have spaced out for a second. No, but I love that yeah. principle. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. I knew a pastor that said that he shovels it to God, and God shovels it back to him, and God shovels a whole lot bigger. I love that picture. He also gave this illustration of walking into his kitchen, and his dog was licking the last of the food in his bowl. And he went to lean down to get the bowl to put more food in, and the dog growls at him. It's like, what is wrong with you, dog? He goes down to grab the bowl again. He goes, don't you know I'm trying to give you more? He said, and in that second, God spoke to him and said, don't you know that's how you treat me with your money? Don't touch. Don't touch. I don't have anything, but don't touch it. God's going, I want to give you more. And it was such a great illustration, a great thing to say, Lord, put your resources in God's hands and watch him multiply it. Watch him take care of it. And that's always cool to do. How do you look at tithing now that you've been doing it, now that it's become a habit? Does it kind of sometimes seem like it's on automatic, or do you still think about it? Or
I mean, I think this has made me, it's challenged me to still look at it as a part of worship and a part of my relationship with God. But it's just something we do. It never crosses our mind not to do it. Mm-hmm. And it still hurts sometimes, you know, like there's, you're watching the money go out thinking, oh, that would go towards a down payment, you know, but it's, I would never in a million years take that away from God, because I've seen the blessings that he's given us this year. And I would be scared to not pay even just the 10%, because it's just a part of our habit. It is a habit now.
A habit, yeah. And he doesn't stop either. I mean, Lou and I have seen this in our lives. He just continues to bless as we continue to be faithful. I mean, you know, as he gives us more, we give him more. You know, it's just, even in Malachi where it says, you rob me from tithes and offerings. You know, tithes are given to the church, but offerings, other ministries that we can support, you know. First give to the church, but then what are the other ministries that you know of? You know, Mercy Ministries is one we support, but other good ministries that are out there that need support. And that's how they make things happen. So we can be a part of those things.
I know when we were reading Malachi earlier and it says, you know, there's not enough room for it. I was thinking there's probably been, for both of us, like work will come our way and we're at a point where we're having to turn it away because we don't have the mental capacity for it. We don't have the time for it. And it just, that seeing that principle lived out was like a light bulb this morning.
That's cool.
And I think I was the one, because my biggest fear was to sit up here and like somebody take, you know, tithing and then have the worst like year of their life. I was like, Rob, have you ever heard of this happening to anybody?
She did. Because
I don't want that. He's like, I've never heard that. I've never heard of a situation where that's the case.
And I shared a story with you guys, I think on Monday. I had a friend who went to a church and the pastor gave them a 90-day guarantee. He said, you tithe for 90 days, and if after 90 days your needs aren't being met or you're not being blessed, I'll give you all the money back. And this guy was at day 89. And he's like, all right, I'm going to get my money back. On day 89, he had his own business. I mean, his business took off. He got clients that he was trying to get. I mean, he said, the last day. I go, that's funny how God does that, isn't it? Takes you right to the very end. And this man ties faithfully, personally, and through his business, and his business has been blessed. I mean, it's a spiritual principle. God says, test me in it. And if God's saying, test me in it, I'm pretty sure when you test him, he's going to respond properly. I do believe he'll do that. Last question. What would you tell others that are sitting here that aren't tithing, whether they should tithe or not?
This has been the single biggest faith increaser for me, period. Like, no competition. I'm a pretty doubting person. I go through waves of very strong and very weak and very, you know, doubtful and very sure of it and very, you know, I question. And this has been an area that has increased my faith tenfold easily. It's been, I didn't realize how important money was to me and how important career was to me until this year, like of seeing it happen in this way and giving it to God. It's been a really cool experience. So my only thing would just to say, you're missing a blessing if you're not doing it. it's not even about, I mean, the other side of it is, yeah, we get to experience this, and this is amazing, and get amazing music, and amazing childcare, and awesome building, and cool events, but the big thing for me was you're missing a huge blessing.
Amen.
And I would just say, a year from now, this would be you up here speaking, because I don't think God would work it any other way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate it. Give me a hand. Microphone.
Are you going to ask me questions?
No.
You're up here to just supervise?
I'm to supervise you.
I'm going to sit over here so you can't reach me. Oh, my gosh. First of all, Trentster, can you turn me down? Because I've not even started and I can hear myself loudly. So I don't know how many of you, I said to Rob when we were talking about the tithing principle, I'm like, you know, so often you can sit here for a long time, and even though you see Rob and I every week, you might not really know us. And nobody likes talking about money unless you've got a lot of it. Then maybe that's a different conversation. You especially don't like it when you're sitting in church and having to hear about it. And that, obviously, as Rob's already stated, can be a great detriment to the Calvary as much as it is a blessing to know that you don't have to come to church every week and have the plate passed twice, once in the morning and, you know, once at the end of service just in case you forgot, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, all of that to say, how many of you have ever heard of the book The Tipping Point? My business, wow, okay. So The Tipping Point, by definition, is there's something that happens to you or something that happens in your life space where you get to a place where there's a tipping point. So you're no longer in the norm, but you're finally over the edge, and that catalyst has caused some great event to happen. So it's a business principle book. And what has to happen to you to get to the tipping point? When my mother passed away when I was very young, I was in my mid-20s, I was newly married to Rob, and my mother was my world. She passed away. And that started our journey of wanting to understand what was life all about, and then also what was death about. So a young girl who had grown up in a Christian home but didn't own her own faith whatsoever, I found myself struggling immensely in that time, in that space. And that's what brought us to Calvary Chapel. Now, growing up in upstate New York, you're up there with a bunch of Italians. How many of you have ever gone to the Catholic Church or are Reformed Catholics? Any in the Southern Belt? Okay. So, you know, the Catholics, when it comes to money, they just don't trust you. They're like the feds. So you're going to come in, and if you want to put your kids in school, you're going to give financials, and you're going to sign a pledge card. And that's how we grew up about money in the church, was that that's what you pledged. And if you didn't, then, you know, they set down the elders of the church in their little white robes. Sometimes they were purple. And they'd say, hey, you didn't make your pledge. So, you know, the Catholics were good at intimidation, and that's what they did. You can't put this up. You know how many people I know that are Catholic? Yeah, okay. Just got it.
Look into the camera.
So anyway, you can sit. So you can sit in a Calvary forever and not hear about tithing. Now, I'm an accountant by trade, so I honestly knew what tithing principles were. But we sat in Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, for almost a year and a half and had not ever heard a teaching on tithing. So we hear a teaching, and it happened to be right at tax season, and I represented a very famous New York Yankee who was a baseball player who was a solid believer, and his tithe check was enormous. So as we were preparing his tax return, I had said to him, I don't mind telling you, his name was Jesse Barfield, and I called Jesse and I said, what's it like to tithe? Because, you know, I don't know, how many of you feel like it's easier to give out of abundance than it is out of poverty? Yeah, it's easier to give out of abundance than poverty, right? So Jesse said to me, you know, I want you to know there was a time when I gave out of poverty, and this is a time that I'm giving out of abundance, but you give just the same. So I went home and I said to Rob, I really think we need to start tithing. And so we're pretty self-doers, you know. We don't need somebody to hold our hand, coddle us, convince us. We just got into it and started listening to tapes. Yes, I said tapes. And for those of you who don't know what they were these square things with little holes in them. And you put them in a machine and it went like this and it had a voice recording on it.
Then we actually pulled out a Strong's Concordance, which is about this thick because Google wasn't around by then. So we started going through all the principles of tithing at that point in time. And I said, this is our tipping point in life. So I'm not going to go back through Malachi because that was my verse that Rob stole from me. So, you know, as much as you're a small church and go, we have a greater need to not only meet the needs of the church to do ministry, you can also say that in a super church because then you can go, oh, well, they don't need my money. But it was irregardless because this was my form of worship to the Lord. And in Malachi, it was clear. I was to bring all my tithes and offerings into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. You are not tithing your time. You're not tithing your gifts and talents, even though you're all wonderful. You're not tithing your beauty for the rest of us to enjoy it on Sunday. Your tithe is your financial giving to the storehouse so that we can meet the needs, not only internally, but externally in the community. Now, for those of you who do know me, thank you. For those of you who do know me, I'm a go big or stay home kind of girl. If you saw my shoe closet, you would understand. Now, don't get crazy. I'm not spending your tithe money on my shoes. It's my own money. But the thing that stuck out to me, my
tipping
point.
Should have brought a picture of the shoe closet.
No, you don't ever do that. The mental picture for me. Who said that? The mental picture for me was that you wouldn't have enough room to hold it. Now, I don't think there's a closet big enough for this girl. Now, you know, you have size variations. You have more than one color of shoes. I love big rooms with stuff in it. And I was like, if God's promising that he's going to pour out a blessing as such that I could not hold it, then I was all about that program. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the lottery commercial that's out now. It's kind of this creepy guy, and he's like, every single frame, he's like, oh, you know, he's doing some grand adventure. He's got something. He's like, I want to thank you, the person who didn't buy that lottery ticket in front of me, because he's obviously won the lottery. And so, you know, in my sick little head, this is an analogy. I don't want everybody going running out to buy lottery tickets this week, although I've been known to buy them. But to me, that would be like an angel of the Lord appearing to you and giving you a number sequence and telling you, this Sunday, go buy those numbers. And you just decide you weren't going to do it for this week. Hey, I've got this winning for you. And then that Sunday comes, the numbers come up, and you didn't go play. And you're like, well, God, you said those numbers were just for me. And he's like, yeah, and I told you to go do this now. It's like I never want to be in a place where I'm not getting or receiving what God's told me that I'm going to get if I trust him in what he's giving me. God says, test me in this. It's the only place in the entire Bible where God allows us to test him in something. This is not about you giving to Rob and I. This is about you bringing your tithe into the storehouse and you receive the benefit of that. God protects your finances, your life, your stuff. Go through scripture and look at it. I'm going to protect your kneading basket. I'm going to protect the fruit of your loom. Fruit of your womb. That's an inside joke between us. I'm going to protect your fields. I'm going to protect your business.
Bad joke.
Listen. It doesn't mean, like what Rob said, if you don't give, you're not losing your salvation. If you don't tithe, it doesn't mean bad things are going to happen to you. But you're always going to have room. Because if you tithe and if you give, God says he's going to pour it out to where you can't hold it. You won't have enough room. So you can live and you can live in this life and you can live before the tipping point, but you will always have room. I want to tell you that when my mom passed away, and this was such a psychological meltdown for me, when my mother passed away, between Rob, myself, our extended credit, and our immediate family, some who could but wouldn't, we didn't have $2,000 to bury my mother. And so it was so humiliating to have to go into the funeral home by yourself as a young girl, and like I'm negotiating payments for my mother's funeral. It was devastating for me. And then to get saved and go, okay, I'm going to trust God with my stuff. I'm going to tithe. I am going to do and be what's faithful in my giving and my offering. I'm going to do that. And I sit here to tell you that every single, when Rob said, we got to a little period of time where I was like, I always did the finances. I always do our tax returns. It's just like the 1 year Rob wanted to go with me when we got audited. I'm like, are you crazy? You're not going with me. You're going to say something kooky. I'm going.
You got to speak the truth. Oh, not to the IRS.
It was the truth. You're such a home fry.
What does that mean?
But I let... It's the only thing I could think of.
I know.
But it was the thing that I knew I couldn't do at that moment that I wanted him to do it. Because I'm like, you'll write the check. So for a season, while I get my head wrapped around this, you write the check. So it's a short season, and now we'll go on. But I sit here today for our personal testimony to tell you that 20 years ago when I started my own business, that every single year, and I went back and I looked at my tax returns, every single year from the year I got saved until today, my income has more than doubled each year. My business has grown from 3 people in an office in South Florida representing some hip-hop folks to 2 offices on 2 coasts with 46 staff and almost 100 clients on its roster. And that's not because I'm smart. I'm not really that smart. Smart enough to surround myself. I really am that smart, by the way, because I've got 2 clients sitting here in this room going... You understand I need to be humble for me, right? I'm really that smart. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
I'm smart enough to know that it's through our humility and our obedience that by only that, that we are where we are and what God's done. Rob and I decided in 2001 when he was going to go into ministry full-time, because certainly I made enough money that he could come here, start ministry, and we didn't need to worry about a salary, that was something that we could do as an act of worship and love for the community, because Rob knew that he had a call to be a pastor. Do you know what freedom there is in that, to be able to go, one of us is going to go into ministry full-time and one of us is going to continue, but we're not going to miss a beat financially or worry about having dual salaries anymore because it's more than enough. I'm not going to have you go there just because of time, but Deuteronomy 28, that whole area of scripture, that whole chapter talks about the beauty of obedience and what the blessings are that follow in that. I will tell you, so often in Malachi 3, the very last part of that area of scripture in 3:12 gets left out. So it's not only the blessings and what comes into the storehouse, but God says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you, right? He's going to protect all the things that he's given us in the land. A dear friend of mine was telling me about a vision she had, and Rob alluded to it a couple of weeks ago. And she said she was a Christian, and the church was in this huge room, and there was this great big boxing ring, and there were 2 demonic spirits in the boxing ring, and they were clothed in boxing robes. And so they were jumping around the ring, jabbing at everybody, going, is there not anybody here that'll stop us? Is there not anybody here that's going to take us on? And my friend Jane, who's, you know, she's just totally, she's all that. I love her. And so Jane said she was thinking to herself, I'm going to take you on. Everybody can sit here by the ring, but I'm going to go ahead and take you on. And she says, as the demons continued to box around the ring, she knew they were going to be turning around. And so what's on the back of the robes usually? You know, you've got Mayweather's name, or you've got Manny Pacquiao's name. You've got whatever their names are, or they're professionally known as names in the ring, right? So she expects to see Destroyer and Devourer embroidered on the back of their robes. But as both of them turned around, what was embroidered on the back of their robes was, this is life. And she said what God and the Holy Spirit spoke to her in that is that the Christian church lives accepting defeat, where they are, or what's happened to them, because that's just life. And it's like, that's not just life. God says he's going to rebuke the devourer for us and for us to be steadfast in the dreams and the purposes he has for each and every one of us, because that's what his word says. So wherever you are today, especially if you would have to tithe out of poverty, know that God's going to rebuke the devourer for you, and his word cannot return void. Amen?
Amen.
See, I didn't do anything to embarrass you.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word and how effective it is. Mm-hmm. And Lord, the reality of you want us to be givers because you are a giver. Mm-hmm. For you gave your only son to die for us. Lord, we want to be givers as well. We want to be those that are faithful with the resources that you give to us. And I know there's people in this room, Lord, that are struggling with this decision. But Lord, help them to be faithful.
Yes.
Help them to learn that those of us that have tried you now in this have found you to be faithful. You've never let us down. You've never placed us in a place of need or want. And God, I pray that the body of Christ would rise up, that we would be the storehouse for a dying and hurting world to come to, that we can meet needs, both physically, but more importantly, spiritually. So God, draw them into this place. We pray that you would just bless the rest of our day and our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.